I'm here tonight because we're going to be speaking about Edom. And this isn't the best map. I had one at home that was a little better, and I brought it along. It shows it a little better south of the Dead Sea down here. But this is the area which we're going to, the land that we're going to think about later in this chapter. All right, this chapter, the title of it is The Day of Jehovah's Vengeance. This chapter and chapter 35 form one prophecy, namely judgment of the day of the Lord, and then the subsequent blessings on Israel and their land. That will be in chapter 35. So these two go together. And this chapter corresponds with the little book of Nahum. This book of Isaiah, the more we get into it, it's marvelous to see how God ordered Isaiah to write each chapter and in order and grouped these things together. This is what impressed me today in study. The burdens that we have in chapters 13 to 23 concerning all the nations, it's precious to review this. Those burdens that we have from chapter 13 to 23, concerning the nations that God used to chastise Israel, those burdens are followed by, in chapter 24 and 25, they're followed by the wonderful song of the redeemed of the remnant of Israel and the coming rest in. It's like a finale in a concert. Yes, a finale. Well, that's what chapters 24 and 25, or 25 and 26 are mainly. It's the finale of all of these burdens. Then in chapters 23 to 33, we have the six woes that were against the apostolic the apostate Gentile nations, as well as apostate Israel. The majority of Israel is apostate today, and they will be at the end time. Now, in this chapter that we're going to have tonight, we see the final crushing finale again in judgment on all the earth. And this is all future. This has not happened, but it will happen, and it's coming quickly. So in this chapter, and as Isaiah was when he wrote this, he's carried away from the pages of history, the past, and he's transported now into the midst of eternity and, or the future especially, especially eternity here, but the future events that are going to happen. So in chapters, from chapters 34 to chapter 40, this is a build-up. This is what was so precious to me. This is a build-up. It's a raising to a height from chapters 34 to 40. And he begins to soar. And in chapter 40, he's soaring. Chapter 40 is a marvelous chapter. So as he goes on from here to chapter 40 and then to the end of the book, he becomes more and more at home in things eternal, in the future, instead of in his own time. So this is kind of a build-up as we go on through this book. The end of this book is going to bring us right down to where we are now, to what's coming. And as Isaiah was transported into the day of the Lord, as we're going to have tonight, he's transported into this day when the Lord takes his throne. He just begins to rise in spirit more and more to what's coming, the expectation of what's coming. And we can just get a little foretaste of it with this wind we're having today. It's nothing like what's going to come. So the Lord will take care of each one of us. In dividing of this chapter, we can divide it with verses 1 to 4. It's God's indignation is poured out upon all the nations. And then verses 5 through 7, just these three verses, we have Idumea, which is Edom. Also, Esau, the only three names, Idumea, Edom, and Esau, are all one. And it figures all that God hates. Then from verses 8 17, we have the day of the Lord's vengeance and its results. So this is quite a chapter. As we were studying today, the lights went on and off and on and off. I sat there and had to strain my eyes to study for a little while, but I thought, well, shall I move? Shall I get where I can get better light? But the Lord took us on and we finished it. So thank the Lord. All right, let's read the first four verses. Come near, ye nations. Now notice who is calling. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. There's the nations, the people, and then he says, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, and then the world, and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vines, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Not a very pretty picture, is it? Well, it's going to get worse as we get into the chapter. He calls upon the world, the nations, the world, the earth, to hear all of these things that he's going to speak concerning. They were to hear the prophecy of the future judgments, not just look at them, but they were to hear them. Everything on earth will endure these judgments upon the nations, as we've been had in previous verses in this book. He says the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations in the second verse. This indignation speaks of rage or wrath. And the fury that he's speaking of is his hot displeasure upon all nations and all their armies. And notice the past tense in this. He hath utterly destroyed them. God's purposes, these things are already accomplished. He's just waiting for the right time to bring these things upon the unbelieving and upon those that rejected his son. This word destroyed means he has consecrated to destruction, talking about the ungodly and the wicked. And they are delivered to the slaughter. Again, the people that will be on earth. And this is a terrible picture in this third verse of bodies that are going to be buried. Rather, they're going to be unburied. They'll be laying upon the earth, scattered. And the air is full of the stench of the corpse. Let's go over to Ezekiel and read. He gives us quite a description of this time. We see a lot being fulfilled today, but my nothing of what's coming. Ezekiel 39:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. Gog here, I believe, if I recall, speaks of the ruler of he's the ruler of Magog, if I remember right. Is that what you have written in? He's the ruler of Magog and the chief prince of back in chapter 38:2 of Meshach, that's Moscow, and then Tubal in 38:2 is Tobolev. I'm taking this back over there to get to identify God here. But he's the ruler of Magog, or Moscow. All right, he says, I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, back in 39:11. The valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Ammon Gog, or if that is the multitude of Gog. Then let's go to Joel, the second chapter. This is God's word, so as we read it, remember who is speaking. The Lord himself, who has determined these things, and that which is determined shall come to pass. Joel 2 and the 20th verse. He says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army. There is going to be four confederacies. So we'll be put those on the board. The northern army is going to be made up of Russia and Germany. It's going to be in the northern army. And we put the northern army, those will be in it, up over on the board. So he says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate. And with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, or the western sea. And his strength shall come up, and his ill favor shall come up, because he hath done, and this was great, should be terrible things. And that is, that they were going to go against the God's people, and it was time to put a halt to it. Now let's go over to Revelation and see when this John sees this also. No wonder he said, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Revelation 19 and verses 17 and 18. I think of this dear man John taking him to the future. Revelation 19, 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, for there still be these armies, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. This will be, and we read in this word too about the vulture. And if you notice the increase in vultures, we've noticed this out in the country. There's an increase of them. And vultures feed on dead things. They don't feed on live things. Eagles feed on the live things, but vultures on dead. Now notice here in our chapter that the saints shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. This means that the blood will be so bad that it will melt the mountains, or cause the dirt to loosen the soil. The blood will cause the dirt to loosen the soil, and it'll be like mudslides. So the mountains shall be melted with their blood. That's how terrible a time this is going to be upon the earth. And dear ones, it's coming. No man can stop it. It's going to be a fearful thing to be on the earth at this time. And there will be some of God's people still here. Then this fourth verse says, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. This speaks of Satan and his hosts. They're going to fall down. Let's go to Revelation 12. He's up there, as we read in Ephesians, the sixth chapter. He's up there. We'll read that in a little bit, too. Let's go to Revelation 12, though, first. Here we see that where he's cast down, and this is going to be at the middle of the 7 years. Our chart over on the north wall, it tells there when he's going to be cast out of heaven. Revelation 12 and the seventh verse. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels, and he prevailed not. Neither was there place found any more in heaven for him. That's where sin started, see, was in heaven. And Lucifer wanted to be like God, and then God cast him down. And the great dragon was cast out, that Satan, that old serpent called the devil. He's the accuser also, and Satan, the bad one, which deceiveth or seduceth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He's not alone, is he? He's a lot of angels, demonic spirits, that are going to be cast out on the earth, and they'll be here at this time. Let's read that in Ephesians, and we'll have some others here we want to read along with it. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and the 12th verse. That's a very familiar scripture, but it tells us where these principalities are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, one another. We don't do this. We, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers or the world rulers, Martin says, of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're up there in the lower heavens. Satan has his throne there. But where are we? Aren't we raised up far above them? See, we're seated clear up at the right hand of God. So we're above them. So we don't have to wrestle with them. We're up there with the Lord. And I thank the Lord for that. While we're in Revelation back here, let's go to the 6th chapter and read in Revelation. The 6th chapter and the 12th verse. We read in this verse, read in the 4th verse of our lesson, is that the host shall fall down as a leaf falls off the vine and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Now let's see what this 6th seal in the 12th verse of Revelation chapter 6. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. That makes us think of today. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And that's all we want to read of that. But all of this is in harmony with this chapter that we have tonight. Now, while we're in the New Testament, let's read in Matthew 24. Jesus spoke of this time. Matthew 24, 29. Wonderful the peace the Lord gives us in the midst of all these things. 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. There's stories in the heavens, as we read in the book of Amos, for he is cannot be shaken, but the rest of the heavens are going to be shaken. Let's go to Isaiah 24. So many scriptures in the Word about this time. And they all harmonize. That's a wonderful thing. 24:21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones. That's who we read about there in Ephesians 6:12. The host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Again, the same, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison, and after many days shall they be visited. As many days here speaks of 1,000 years that they will be punished. Then over in Isaiah 65:17, slow me up if we go too fast. 65 and the 17th verse. I like this verse. Because we think about when the Lord takes their ones home. And when he takes us home, do we remember things down here? This verse tells us, 65:17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. There's a wonderful scripture. When loved ones are taken home, nothing down here is remembered. They're a new creation. There's nothing earthly about them. There's nothing natural about them. They're up there with the Lord. And that, I love that verse. But I'm glad that we won't remember things down here. There's too much sorrow and too much trouble. And when the Lord chooses to take dear ones home, I say praise the Lord. A lot of them have been in suffering, have suffered. We think of those that have had cancer and heart problems, and we could go on and name a lot of things. But I thank the Lord that they're with the Lord. I thank him that they're out of their trouble. All right, let's go to back to our lesson chapter. These next three verses, notice, let's read them, 5, 6, and 7. For my soul shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. And if your margin usually will say Edom, and upon the people of my curse or my ban. This is, he's already counted on them or set them aside for judgment. The soul of the Lord is filled or intoxicated with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns, margin says wild oxen, shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, these speak of the leaders of the nations, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. Now, Idumea, or Edom, stands here for all the powers that are antagonistic and hostile to God and to his people. Let me go back and read the beginning of Edom, or let's go back to Genesis 32. This is not really the beginning, but it's when Esau was left after the Lord sent Jacob away, and then here he comes back. This tells where, when Jacob meets Esau. Genesis 32 and the third verse, it tells us the land in which he went. Genesis 32 and the third verse. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, and Seir means hairy, and it's the country of Edom. And we pointed out before where this is. It's a little area right down here, and this pink on my little map here, I like it. I'd like to have it enlarged, but this is where it is. It's right south, down in here, of right in here, this area, Edom. And if you get your Bible dictionary out, if you have a good one, Smith's Bible Dictionary is the best. But my father gave me one when I went to Bible school, and it's really good. But they were always the enemies of God's people. And I want to go to Numbers, the 20th chapter of Numbers, when Israel was going through the wilderness on their way to the land of Canaan. They had to bypass, and if you will recall, in fact, this is the route that they took going into the land of Canaan when they wanted to go that way, but the Lord didn't let them because of their unbelief. So they had to go down where the red line is, and then they had to go by Edom. Edom's right here. They had to go here. Now I want to read Numbers 20 and the 18th verse. Well, let's read God whatever before, the 14th verse. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel. Now they were, Esau and Jacob, remember, were brothers. And that's why he says here, thus saith thy brother Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers 430 years. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. Folks, they call Moses an angel. Well, they murmured against him a lot. But and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. When Kadesh is right, Kadesh right here, right there. Okay, that's where it is. All right, that's where they were, a city in the uttermost of thy border. So he says in the 17th verse, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the field or through the vineyard, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And Edom says, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. See, he hated him. Now these Edomites today, you know who they are? They're the Palestinians. Same people. They still hate these people. And there's so many scriptures in the Word. Again, get your Bible dictionary and look up about these people. They're mentioned quite a bit in Isaiah. They're mentioned in Jeremiah. They're mentioned in Ezekiel. All through the Word, all through the prophetic scriptures, Edom is mentioned. And they were idolaters, we read of in the book of 2 Chronicles 20. You want to look that up, 2 Chronicles 20, verses 14, 15, and 20. It speaks of the flesh. All of Idumea, Edom, and Esau all have the meaning of red, which means the flesh. And this is something God has judged. All right, notice he says in the fifth verse of Isaiah 34, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven, or intoxicated in the heavens. This also means it's well soaked or blooded with blood. The heavens is where God's purposes of wrath were formed. They were settled in heaven. This is God's decree. They purposed this before the foundation of the world, that these things, each dispensation was framed by, and let's read that scripture in Hebrews. I like that. People wonder, well, you know, how, where are we? Where do we live? If I find this scripture now that I want. Yes, Hebrews 11 in the third verse. How do we know how God, where we are in the period of time? How do we know, what God did? Well, right here. And if we understand it through faith, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the ages, you know, world, it's the ages, were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. These ages were framed clear back before God ever created anything. They were framed. And so each period of time was already decreed by God. So this sword that we read of in this fifth verse is going to come down upon Idumea. And he is represented here as offering sacrifices. And this is what he's going to do. And the people of thy band are going to be the sacrifices. And these animals that we read of in the sixth and seventh verses represent the different nations that are going to be sacrificed. He's going to come. It's already. And there they are, the people, the wicked are the sacrifice. The three animals that we read of in the sixth verse, and we're not going to go into these animals. It would be too lengthy, but you can look them up. These three in the sixth verse represent the masses of people. That is the lambs, the goats, and the rams. The seat of the masses of the people. And this, when he says, "For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah," Bozrah is one of the main cities of Idumea. It's the city of Edom. And we're going to read in a little bit in Isaiah more about that. Then in the seventh verse, we have three more animals that are mentioned, and they speak of the nobles of the people of Idumea. That's the unicorns, and as we said, the unicorns there are the wild oxen, and the bullocks with the bulls. All of this, God is going to, they're going to be the sacrifices that God is going to offer up. They will be, this land is going to be soaked with blood, and the dust made fat with fatness, with the blood of man. That's going to be a terrible time. I'm glad we're going to be with the Lord, aren't you? Wonderful comfort to know that when these things happen, in fact, the Bible Company is going to be there to be the ones that say, come, for the Antichrist to come, and this is going to begin. The whole world is going to be a different world when the Bible Company, one that in Revelation 6 has come to the Antichrist, and he comes forth and things are going to change. Alright, in verse 8, we read, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses. So the controversy of Zion. Paul spoke of this day. Let's go over to Acts 17. Hundreds of years later, Paul spoke about this very same day that is coming. As he stood here on Mars Hill, God had let him know that these things were coming. He knew the scriptures. We know Paul was a very learned man. Acts 17, and verses 30 and 31. I'm going to read and start up above. Let's start with the 26th verse. And he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. I like that verse because every nation, every person in the world is of one blood. One is of the royal blood and so forth. We're all of one blood, and that blood is sinful, no matter what man, what state man is in. He made of one blood of men of all nations to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel or contact or search for him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and we move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead, or that which is divine, is like unto gold, silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God has winked at or overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. That was the proof, as it were, that this is going to happen. God raised that one from the dead who is going to judge all the nations. It's going to be a day of vengeance toward he will defend the fight for the remnant of Israel. He will be their defender. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and he's going to be the one that takes vengeance upon the people that have been against Israel. The year of recompense. This recompense speaks of the punishment that's going to fall upon all men who are Edomitish in their feelings and their conduct toward Israel. Edomitish is the flesh race. They don't even like this nation, Israel. The word controversy just means a cause, for the cause of Zion. Now let's go over to the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. We won't get into this in detail tonight, but I want to read it. This is a beautiful chapter. Isaiah 63, and we'll read the first four verses. This speaks of Jesus at this time in the future when he's going to come. Right, there'll be quite a day. We're just going to read it. First verse, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? This is all speaks of the judgment that he's going to bring forth. I have trodden the winepress alone. He's the one that's going to bring the victory and do the judging. And of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. He's going to deliver his own people, but he's going to come, and he's going to do this himself. He's the only one that can bring the victory and take care of these nations that have been so hateful toward the nation Israel. All right, let's read verses 9 and 10 of our lesson. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pits. Now he's talking about the land of Edom. The springs thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. This is a very gloomy picture of the land of Eden, especially during the millennial days. And it speaks of the futility of all flesh and human schemes, which are brought to nothing. It's like but barrenness and destruction. All the human efforts of man only bring barrenness and destruction. Eden will be barren. Will it be overgrown with nettles and thorns? Well, it's going to be the habitation of wild beasts and of birds of prey. And even the dust and the land are going to be covered with the pitch and the blood and so forth that comes from this judgment. It's going to be a terrible time, but it's especially that land thing of it, but it also includes the flesh of period of everything. Now these next verses, I'm going to take them one at a time, because I'm not going to go into these creatures, these ones that we have here. It would take quite a while, and we didn't feel led to go into them. It just speaks of the beings that are going to occupy this land, or that dwell in that uninhabited land. And all of these are unclean birds. But the coromant, or the pelican, is in my margin, and the bittern, and I have the porcupine, shall possess it. And the owl, and here in my margin I have bittern, also, and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the plummet of emptiness. That word stones is plummet. And most of you should have that in your margin. Jehovah here is using the level and the measure. And it's a picture. He's using it as a picture for the purpose of, instead of building up this land of Eden, he's using it to pull down and destroy Eden's land. And he will render the exact measure of justice without mercy. It's measured. His judgment without mercy is measured. He doesn't judge all the time. There will come an end to it. But that's why we have this measurement. God knows when to begin the judgment, and he knows when to end it. But that land is going to be a land of void. It's going to be nothing. I thank the Lord for him, that he knows. Just like in our trials, we thought of this lately. There's a song one of the quartet sings, when God says, that's enough, that's enough. I like that, because sometimes we go through trials and we wonder, well, Lord, just how long is this going to last? But when the Lord says, that's enough, then that's enough. And I thank the Lord. All right, this 12th verse says, they shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. In the early days of Eden's monarchy, which preceded Israel's by many, many years, all of its monarchy is brought to an end now. In Genesis, and I want to read this, in Genesis 36:31, we read here that their kings are enumerated before the kings of Israel. This is a real special truth here that the Lord brings out in Genesis 36 and verse 31. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Eden before there reigned any king over the children of Israel. Now, why did God give an account of this? 1 Corinthians 15:46 tells us why. You know, the word is wonderful. And here we find Paul's gospel right back here in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 15:46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual,
but that which is natural.
The Edom was natural, fleshly, and that was first. And then afterward, that which is spiritual.
See, we read there that Edom had his princes before Israel's were enumerated. And the first Corinthians here tells us why. First things natural. Man's best, that what he can get, it always fails. And that's what we find out with ourselves, too.
Second, we see that things spiritual, God's things, succeed. Whatever it is
that God does, it will last.
And thank the Lord.
Aren't we glad for that? The work that he does in our lives will last forever. It's something eternal that cannot be taken away from us.
But here we see that the princes of Edom will come to nothing. Not a trace of them are going to be left. Nothing of the glory of Edom, nothing that the flesh will glory in, is going to be left at all. They shall be nothing.
Won't that be a wonderful day
when the flesh will not glory in themselves? Oh, it's going to be wonderful. All right, let's read verses 13 and 14 again. We're not going to go into the creatures here.
And thorns shall come up in her palaces, again speaking of Edom,
nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof,
and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court of owls. And in my margin, I have ostriches.
The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts or the jackals of the island. And the satyr or the he-goat shall cry to his fellow. And the screech owl or the night...
I can't make that word out.
Does anyone have that in there?
Night hog, I think is what it is.
The night hog also shall rest there.
Does anyone have a margin with that? Explain what my Bible gives this.
In Hebrew, it's L-I-L-P-I-H,
I think.
And then, and find for herself a place of rest.
It's not like this Bible. It's good margin.
Well, this verse mainly, let's read the 15th too. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. So in the place where the princes had their palaces and their country houses,
these creatures are going to be there. They're going to be howling to their fellow creatures.
It'll be a desolate place.
This great owl in verse 15
in the Hebrew is an arrow snake or a stinging snake, it's called the great owl.
It's interesting. You can look into some of these, and they're very descriptive. And then there we see the vultures that are going to be gathered because of all of the dead things that will be there.
Now, I love this 16th verse, and it's so precious. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Don't you like that? No one of these shall fail.
None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered there.
The book of the Lord.
Seek it or search.
I like this word search,
because when we search a book,
we lean over the book when searching in it, and we get the object of our search out of the book. When we study, we lean over the book. We search it. There's something there that we want to find.
And this is what the Lord wants us to do with the Word. There's something there he wants us to know, to find, that will help us in our spiritual walk.
So we search this book.
The book that he's speaking of here primarily is of the prophetic book that had been written by the Holy Spirit. When that statement, none shall want her mate, that means that other prophets foretell these same things.
There are others that will agree with what Isaiah is saying and telling concerning,
because the Holy Spirit has written all of these. They harmonize.
They have their mate. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I like that.
but I like that. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. All of these prophets, you can compare them. They say the same thing. Isaiah wrote many years before some of these others. But the Holy Spirit, when these others came upon the scene, he had them write the same thing that Isaiah wrote. And they didn't have Isaiah's scrolls, many of them. They wrote them because the Holy Spirit gave them the same word. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them, lot by them by line. They shall possess it forever, from generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Praise the Lord. Well, there's going to be, at this time, some who are going to be living, and they're going to look into the book of the law of God's word, and they're going to find out that what God has predicted has actually come to pass. They're going to see, well, what God said is really real. He wasn't telling us something that's false. And there will be some who will be living at this time, some of God's people, that today have been very negligent, very sleepy, spiritually, very lethargic in their attitude to the things of the Lord. And they're going to read these books. And they're going to say, well, this has actually come to pass. God didn't mean what he said. See? They're going to wake up and say, I wish I'd read this before. These things really stir my heart, because I know that there's going to be people left here. But we have the responsibility before the Lord to warn others of this coming time. We don't have to be here. None of us have to be here. There will be some of the church that are people that are saved and even maybe filled with the Holy Spirit that will be left here, because that's their rank. They're the foot portion of the mystical body of Christ, and they're those that are haven't yielded to the Lord and haven't really given themselves over to the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, fully acceptable unto the Lord. That's what he wants us to do. And when we do that, he takes control of our being, and we become a full overcomer. We don't do it in ourselves, but he does it in us. And as we read there in Acts, we live in him, and we move in him, and we have our being in him. And he walks in us, and we know that. And when he walks in us, we become a full overcomer. We can overcome anything that the Lord brings across our pathway. Whatever it may be, sometimes it seems like a little thing, but it keeps nagging at us and being a trial unto us. But that can enable us to be an full overcomer. We have to have something to overcome. You know, on a race course, you have these obstacles you have to jump over. Well, we have a lot of obstacles on the race course, but the Lord enables us to jump over them. We keep our eyes upon that prize, who is Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all we're going to have tonight. This is quite a chapter. The next one is going to be more precious. It'll be the millennial blessing. And we want to remember that all of these chapters are written in Hebrew poetry. And I have the book, the original of it at home, and I wish I could read Hebrew. It would be wonderful, but I can't. All right. Are there any comments on this? Do you have anything, Glenn? Yes, one, two, the earth was without form and void. And that's the way this land is going to be. Now, will be before the new heaven and the new earth. End of 1,000 years, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. One of the books had forever and ever, it had the ages upon ages. So when the ages end, then eternity will begin. The next age will be the millennial age, and when it ends, then eternity will begin. And at the end of the 1,000 years or the millennial reign of Christ is when Satan is going to be judged. And remember in Revelation we read, where he's going to come up. He's going to be loose for a little season out of the bottomless pit, and he's going to come up against Jerusalem with all of his armies, and then fire is going to come down out of heaven and destroy them. Then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. That will be the end of our enemy. And we do have an enemy in that place. Keep in mind, he's the one that would want to use anybody to cause us to be defeated and not have the victory. All right, any questions? Aren't we glad we can overcome? Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.